Angie Austin, and Mike Opelka. Better for you than a whole box of sugar-coated unicorns.
Angie Austin, Mike Opelka here, and Mike, some big news today.
Yeah, you never know when news is going to break, and I think for this one, Angie, this breaking news that happened just a little bit ago, can we use a special introduction for this news?
I don't see why not.
All right, here we go.
Great moments of President Donald Trump.
I figured we'd use the man himself to introduce this latest breakthrough. Pretty exciting, isn't it? That's kind of dramatic.
Yes, very exciting. And I kept thinking about the families and the men who are being released. I kept thinking about how grateful they're going to be to our president.
I'm sure they will be. Of course, we're talking about Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who we learned during the announcement of the destroying of the Iranian nuclear deal, we learned that Secretary Pompeo was headed to North Korea. And a lot of people speculated maybe this will be the next big move from the president. And that was the release of those hostages. Three Americans held in a North Korean work camp are on a plane headed back to America with Secretary of State Pompeo. And I understand there's a couple of pool reporters. You know, they only bring a couple on these kinds of missions. So we will get reports, but it'll be the same report across every network.
I wanted to just mention the family of 59-year-old Toby Kim is thanking, quote, all those who worked towards and contributed to his return home. In a statement, the family credited President Donald Trump for engaging directly with North Korea. Quote, mostly we thank God for Tony's safe return. It added that the family appreciates the support and prayers of friends and even strangers during this challenging year. I cannot wait to hear what these men say about their experience there. And I wouldn't doubt that they kissed the ground when they returned to the United States.
Yeah, I would too. I would absolutely do that. So these three gentlemen, and one of them's name was just a little too close to Kim Jong-un. His name was Kim Dong-chul. And I'm like, wow, that's just a little too close. You know, maybe should have changed that name. But they're all coming home and Donald Trump will get the credit. One of them had been in the labor camp during the Obama administration. The other two were picked up in the last year. So it's from the Trump era and the Obama era that these three Americans were grabbed and held in North Korea. I think this is a good sign for the upcoming summit between North Korea, South Korea, the United States, but a direct sit down with Donald Trump. Do you think this is a good sign, or do you think this is going to be Kim Jong-un playing a Trump card?
No, I think it's a good sign. I mean, he wouldn't even meet with him, I think, if he was playing a Trump card. I think that the situation's probably gotten dire for the people in terms of food, et cetera. And I think that I'm surprisingly enough, I think he wants some kind of agreement.
Yeah, I think that they realized they were outgunned against the entire world. And as you said, the dire situation with the food in that nation. So we will learn later today, the time and the place for the summit. That's what the president was tweeting about. And I'm guessing there will be a White House meeting eventually. I don't know where this will take place, but I'm guessing this could happen later this afternoon.
Now, interestingly enough, in Iran, there are people rejoicing, even though, of course, there are people chanting death to America after Trump pulled out of a nuclear deal. The hardliners are rejoicing. And you talked earlier about Trump directly addressing the Iranian people. And in the early hours this morning, you had mentioned the way that Iran was in the 70s. So my stepmother sent me pictures that I shared with you. And she looks like a Vogue cover model in Iran, in Tehran, in the 70s, wearing, in one case, a miniskirt, no head covering whatsoever. And in another picture, she's at a party with her brother and some friends wearing a gown that looks like it's straight off Vogue. Nothing like you think of Iran now.
Yeah, it's just amazing that there are generations of kids both here and in the Middle East who have no idea that Iran used to be a cosmopolitan country. It was accepted into the world community until it became this closed off theocracy that made women into basically a possession. I think we just might see a return to that in our lifetimes.
That's what I wrote to my stepmom, that I hope the young people of Iran are able to experience the Iran that she once experienced and have more freedoms and be able to, you know, have more joy in their lives. But as I mentioned, hardliners are rejoicing there. And so that's obviously a very tricky political situation. We'll see how that shakes out, because we were definitely threatened about pulling out of that nuclear agreement with Iran. So we'll see what comes in the, you know, in the future. We have a lot to talk about coming up. We're going to talk to Dr. Roizen about five ways to add 10 to 14 years to your life.
I'm ready.
Are you? Yeah. Anything else you want to ask him about?
Yeah, I got a question. You'll see.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a surprise question?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not on his list of new research out this week?
No.
Oh, all right. I didn't know we were going to have surprises.
Stay tuned.
Okay, we'll be right back. Angie Austin, Mike Opelka, and Dr. Michael Roizen. He is the chief wellness officer at the Cleveland Clinic and author of so many books, I can't even count them. The first book I read by Dr. Roizen was with his best buddy, Dr. Oz, and then I was kind of hooked. So when I first got to interview you, Dr. Roizen, I was smitten, and you've been here ever since. Hello.
It's great to be here. I'm smitten too, Angie.
Mike Opelka has a couple of pressing questions before we get into the latest medical research out this week. Mike?
Yes, thanks. Get a room, you two. I'm happy you like each other, but come on. I'm here. I feel like I'm watching something kind of uncomfortable. No, I'm happy you're here too, doctor. Now, Dr. Roizen sends us a list of topics every week, and I always come in and go, wait a minute, there's these two things. So two real quick questions I have. Number one, Ebola outbreak in the Congo. I'm terrified of single-strand viruses that seem to be able to survive everything over thousands of years. Should we worry? And number two, a woman in Nebraska thought she had a runny nose from, like, pollen, and doctors are saying it's leaking brain fluid. How does this happen?
So your nose is one of the... I'll take the second one, and then we'll take the first one. The second one... because it's an individual thing. And what you do is there's a continuous leak of clear fluid. You test it for its sugar content and the differential. We actually get a little drop of that fluid that's leaking from her nose, and we test it for what its sugar content is, because the blood fluid has a different sugar content than your nasal secretions normally. And so it's pretty easy to tell. And the real problem is, remember, your nose is a direct entry into your brain. It's right up against your brain. And the sinuses it's coming through the sinuses, which are part of the lining or the outside lining of your brain from inside. So that's one of the reasons we say don't pick pimples around your nose in that triangle. That's your nose to your mouth edge, because that's where bacteria get a direct entry into your brain. So that's what we call the, if you will, a dangerous triangle. Don't do it. Don't pick your nose there. And with that goes the problem that you can develop with holes in that lining, and you can get spinal fluid or brain fluid, in this case, drifting through into your nose. It's a problem because that coating doesn't heal well. And so you normally have to put a patch in and do a surgical procedure. Second problem on Ebola, that's a real problem. And that's why we've gone through this and why we need a lot of funding for the CDC and NIH, because they develop these vaccine alternatives that no one else will develop that help prevent us. So we do have a vaccine against Ebola. It's not in the quantities that we need, but don't go visiting the Congo or that area of the world without talking to your physician first and maybe the CDC expert on it, reading the CDC website, because these are important ways of preventing the spread of disease by you preventing getting it.
Oh, please, Dr. Royce, and Mike's wife will rarely let him get into like New Jersey with that. I mean, he can't, he's not going to the Congo.
Good. That's a good thing for him not to do right now, because of this outbreak. But there has been, we do have an Ebola vaccine. We need to gear up its production if this spreads, to both give it to the people around there as well as ourselves.
All right.
I'm calmed down, Ange. The floor is yours.
Okay. All right. Let's cover some of these. How about health and longevity stories rather than the freak out stories, Mike? Don't get mad at me either. A lot of my colleagues are like, you two are like brother and sister. Like, you drive each other crazy. I'm like, exactly. Okay. So since I have the floor, I'm going to pick the healthier, happier stories. No more Ebola talk. Let's talk about the 5 habits that may help you live 10 years longer. That's what I want to know about, doctor.
Okay, so this is not smoking, maintaining a healthy body weight. When you go, it is your waist measured at your belly button with you sucking in should be less than half your height. Maintaining a healthy body weight. You're not smoking, drinking only in moderation, meaning less than 1 drink on average per night for women, less than 2 for men. And when I say on average, it doesn't mean 7 on Friday night, obviously. It is walking 30 minutes a day and eating a healthy diet, which means avoiding red meat, avoiding simple sugars, avoiding added syrups, avoiding simple carbohydrates, avoiding egg yolks. So those things and eating more than 5 fruits and vegetables a day, servings of fruits and vegetables a day, those things constitute the people who did that made their, what we call your real age, 14 years younger, or if you will, extended a woman's life expectancy by 14 years after age 50. So it made you, if you were 50, Angie, it made you the equivalent of 36.
Wow, I am so youthful then.
You are, and that's the joy. You don't have to go and with Ponce de Leon search for the Fountain of Youth. The Fountain of Youth is within every one of us and every one of your listeners. They can get the Fountain of Youth by just doing that.
All right, you mentioned the sauna, that was also something that could be beneficial. Now, not everyone has access to a sauna, but we've heard, you know, health benefits. I've heard about people with cancer using a sauna, but just using a sauna, if you're someone that's healthy, this could add even more years to your life?
Yeah, this is actually, there are 5 studies on it since November that have been published in various journals. This can be an infrared sauna, so it doesn't have to be the 160-degree, very uncomfortable sauna. Can be 105 to 106 degree sauna, and it decreases sudden death by 50%, decreases stroke and dementia by about 50%, and it decreased sudden death by about 50%. So these are a whole bunch of studies. If you go in it 4 times a week for 20 minutes or more, this is an epidemiologic study, but they factored out all the other things, such as people non-smoking versus smokers, weight loss versus non-weight loss, et cetera. And when they look at just does going in the sauna by itself, the people who went in the sauna had less stroke, less dementia, less sudden death, less heart attacks. So this looks like it's a pretty easy thing if you have a sauna or access to one to do.
Hmm. That's fascinating, doctor. And you brought up the infrared aspect of the heating, because I was going to ask you, does it have to be the coals and all that stuff? We bought a kit from, believe it or not, Walmart, and put a sauna together from a Walmart kit, and it rocks, but it's that infrared. So I wondered if it was a heat thing. It's dry in there and all that stuff. Does this have something to do with the fact that if you're in there for 20 minutes 4 times a week, you're effectively sweating out a lot of toxins in your body?
No one knows the mechanism. So, in fact, I gave a talk on this last night. One of the areas to medical students here at Stony Brook in New York, where I'm visiting, and one of the things you could do is no one knows the mechanism of many of these things. You can make a career on this. because we just don't have the mechanism. So anyone who uncovers this and then can put it into something that's even easier, maybe meditation, meaning you quiet down for that period of time, maybe a lot of things. We just don't know the mechanism.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Andy.
No, I was going to say I'm fascinated by that. My stepmom uses a sauna all the time, and she looks like she could be my sister, not my stepmother, because she's so stinking healthy. Go ahead, Mike.
There was a study yesterday about chocolate helping to fight diabetes. I hear chocolate's good for just about everything, and I know we're at the end of our time here. Is any of this real?
Well, it's a little bit of chocolate. It's not going binging on large amounts. It is dark chocolate. So it is 50, what we call 70% cocoa. And what it contains is a lot of flavonoids. Plus, chocolate has the only saturated fat that your liver in first pass converts to an unsaturated fat, to a healthy fat. So a little bit of chocolate does do all those things.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
And that I think that thing that I pick out from that is the 70% cocoa. Like if you look for the dark chocolate, my brother likes the 90%, which to me tastes like dirt, but the 70% is like edible.
Right. And I can tell you, I'm going to give you the name Featherest. We use these Featherest discs, which are 22 calories, absolutely delicious. One's got raspberry flavoring, et cetera. I should tell you, if I knew the name and the website, I'd tell it to you. I'm not trying to keep all that chocolate to myself, but it is a great little disc with only 22 calories, and you get the great dark chocolate.
Dr. Royce, and your website?
Is ageproof.life rather than .com. We've got a .life.
And tell all of your friends at the Cleveland Clinic to listen to us there in Cleveland. We're on WINT Radio. Exciting news.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-490-9309. 800-490-9309. 800-490-9309. Call right now. That's 800-490-9309.
Angie Austin, Mike Opelka, you know, I can't get enough of the story of the former New York Attorney General's fall from grace from women's defender to alleged abuser. I want to touch on that story again in just a minute. Oh, maybe that wasn't the right. I'd like to cover that story. I'd like to talk about that story again. Like anything you say about it, you feel so creepy. But yeah. I want to talk about Donald Trump Jr. being shamed first, dad shamed. You want to start there?
Sure, why not? Have at it.
Okay, so I'm looking at the video and, you know, having kids that now are, you know, third grade up through sixth grade, we're just out of that stage, a few years out of that stage where they'd run around the house all the time in like, you know, a pair of shorts, right? Because little kids, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 even, they like to run around the house maybe in just their shorts or something. So Donald Trump Jr. is having this Nerf gun kind of war. His 5-year-old son Spencer is shooting him nonstop with a Nerf gun. My kids love these Nerf guns. They like to go out in the backyard and have battles. And then he's got the little 3-year-old daughter, Chloe. And he's having a lot of dad time now because he's in the midst of a divorce. He posts the video and they're giggling and laughing and the kids are having a blast. And he says to Spencer, you know, I love you at the end of the video. And he's like, he goes, yeah, well, I'm going to get you now. You know, like it's just cute. They're playing and horsing around with their dad. Well, little Chloe is holding her Nerf gun and she doesn't have a shirt on. And the Nerf gun blocks the majority of her upper body and her long hair blocks the majority of her upper body. Now, would I personally, as a mom, put a video up where my daughter's not wearing a shirt? Probably not, because I know there are a lot of creeps out there in the world that, you know, I don't want seeing my kid without a shirt on. But I think this was pure that he posted this, that he's having fun with his kids, that three-year-olds sometimes don't wear shirts at home and he's just having a good time. He didn't think anything of it. And I've had friends post similar videos. And here's some of the comments. Very cute, but daddy, put a shirt on your little girl. Teach her modesty, not too young to start. Then Chloe needs a shirt and get rid of that moronic toy, wrote another. One scolded, put a shirt on Chloe, exclamation point, 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 point. All that money, dress your children, wrote another. And then someone defended him and said, OMG, she's little. Millions of kids her age play shirtless all the time. Why do people make such a big deal out of this? Only weirdos think that it's inappropriate. Well, or those of us who think that weirdos will get a kick out of watching the video. Now, again, I personally wouldn't have posted it, but this is the scene in many homes, Mike. This is not an unusual scene. And I think he loves his kids.
Yeah, I've seen him in public. And one particular incident, just recently, we were at the Professional Bull Riders event in New York City. Yeah, that happened in New York. And he was there with the kids. And this little girl was the one he was holding in his arms almost the whole time. He carried her around Madison Square Garden. And you could tell he was an involved dad. You could tell that this is a dad who's in the kids' lives. Now, the situation with his wife, different story, completely different. So can we just stop shaming people? It's all because people don't like his dad. I'm sure if someone loved his father, they wouldn't be going, put a shirt on your child and get rid of that moronic toy. Stop it. It's not your kid. Keep your nose out of other people's business.
All right. I agree. I just give people a break. It's one thing I don't like about the internet. It's like free reign to be a judger. You know,
can I say, you know, he's got five kids, Kai, Donald the Third, Tristan Spencer and Chloe. Can we stop with the Donalds? I mean, come on. We have Donald Trump. Now we have Donald Trump Jr. Now we have Donald Trump the Third.
It's kind of a legacy, a family thing you want to continue. We've got four Bryces in my family.
Really? Because that always made me, I'm like, hey, it seems like you're stealing the kid's identity or you're preferring that child. If you're naming a child after a parent, now I have a Greek buddy and he said they would take turns generationally. So like you would be named after a grandparent, but not the parent. So it'd be like, Spiros Stavros, then the next one was Stavros Spiros, then the next one was Spiros Stavros. And that actually is how they did it.
I think you feel like you're the chosen one.
Yeah. And so what do the other kids feel?
Right. Yeah. Well, I was the only girl, so I already wasn't the chosen one in my family. So that's all right. Now I am. Now that we're all grown, now I'm the favorite. So it took a long time to come around.
Choose yourself.
All right. Ronan Farrow, Mia Farrow's son, who's allegedly the son of Woody Allen. But if you see a side by side with Mia Farrow's former husband, Frank Sinatra, I mean, I don't know how anyone denies this whole Sinatra rumor. But nonetheless, he has been very busy in his career calling out Harvey Weinstein. And then now he is the co-author of the article about former New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman. And one thing that Ronan Farrow wants us to know, he's firing back at Eric Schneiderman saying this was not a 50 Shades of Grey situation. Because when the four women came forward, two of them allowed themselves to be identified, two wanted to remain anonymous. Two of them sought medical treatment after these interactions with Schneiderman. Schneiderman stepped down almost immediately. I mean, you said that Schneiderman stepped down. It was faster than the time it took to read the article.
Yeah, he was gone 3 hours after the article popped. He said, I'm out of here. And you know that also required pressure from the governor of New York, from Kirsten Gillibrand. Oh, by the way, Kirsten Gillibrand, senator from New York, demanded he step down. And then people started reposting a tweet she put up a few months ago saying Eric Schneiderman is New York's best defense and the greatest protector of the pro-choice movement. So she was like carrying his flag a few months ago, and now she's burning it in the town square.
Now, wow, that's a good picture in my mind. Schneiderman you know, was saying this that this was role playing in his private life, and he wants to, you know, relate this message, you know, that it was role playing, right? Now Farrow says that this was not Ronan Farrow, who was a co-author of the article. This was not a 50 Shades of Grey, you know, role playing thing. That this was activity that happened in many cases, fully clothed, outside of a sexual context during arguments. And one case, a woman wasn't even in a relationship with him at all. Women are making allegations that he spit on them, that he choked them, that he slapped them. Two of them sought medical treatment, and then. This sexual activity was involved in some of them. One woman alleges that he called her his brown sex slave. I mean, this is sordid and violent stuff.
Violent stuff, which means it's an assault. And if it was without anyone's permission, then it's criminal. And the ladies, as you said, two of them went to the hospital for treatment. I hope they do investigate this fully. And I hope the kink community can calm down, because they're upset that Eric Schneiderman's trying to say this was a kinky thing. But you also said something there about this happened. He's saying it was consensual. It was with clothes on. If I beat somebody up and they're clothed, it's still an assault. You know? Does that make
sense?
Sorry,
I was sneezing. I had to mute myself as I sneezed again. Okay, so with that said, Mike, yes, it's assault. And I have a feeling that this guy's going down. And I think that's why he resigned so quickly. Because when you know you've been up to no good, when you know, when you've been trying to hide and you've been wearing this Me Too mask, this hashtag Me Too, I'm here for you, ladies. I'm here for you. I am here to defend your rights. And after I just got done beating someone in my bedroom. Like, you know, if you're doing this stuff behind closed doors, when will we learn that this is not the Wizard of Oz and you can't go behind the curtain and do all of these things and then hop out and be Superman?
Well, even the wizard got caught.
Yeah, it's true.
Thanks to Toto pulling back the curtain.
Mm-hmm. And somebody pulled back Schneiderman. Somebody Toto'd Schneiderman's curtain.
Are you saying Ronan Farrow is the modern day Toto?
He is. He pulled back the curtain. I love it when these people are exposed. You know, I'm obsessed with justice. I don't like it when, like, people who lie and do bad things and omit the truth and then skip around and jump around and dance around the truth. I love it when they get nailed.
Coming up, we're going to talk about the Roseanne episode last night and the Met Gala got Catholics angry.
Angie Austin, Mike Opelka here. So a couple of interesting stories in the news. We've touched on some of the big headlines, but sometimes the entertainment-ish headlines can be big headlines as well. We've talked about Roseanne Barr swimming against the current and her program that has seen a lot of success in the early run here already. And she was talking about getting new neighbors that she was possibly fearful of because there was some fear, maybe they were terrorists, et cetera. And what I like about Roseanne is she talks about things that we really legitimately are afraid of, but we're not allowed to talk about because it's not politically correct. I remember I was on a plane and I was near a man who I believe was Muslim, and he started doing something that I wasn't accustomed to with prayers or something in his seat. And he had like moved a little bit, and then he wasn't sitting by his wife and kids. He was sitting like further away from them. And I got a little bit nervous, and then I got mad at myself. Like, you're not allowed to get nervous when he's doing something that is scaring you a little bit because you're worried about what has happened in the past. And I thought, this is something you can't tell anyone because then people think you're racially insensitive and you're profiling and you're a jerk.
Well, what's wrong with being honest and saying, hey, I caught myself having this reaction? 30 years ago, I was carjacked at gunpoint by a black man. And I was tense around black people for a period of time until I realized why. But you can do that. They tell us on any given day, Angie, you walk around a city and you're bombarded with admonition. See something, say something. See something, say something. And if you see something and you say, well, you know, we were told
that the majority of these terror attacks around the world are committed by these people. But we also have to realize folks who get into this country have gone through 18 months of extreme vetting. So the chances are the people who are here, they're okay people, and you should go over and say hi to them. But it's human nature to have that reaction. And Roseanne Barr, not afraid to go after that. Last night's show, I have to stand and give her a round of applause. Just brilliant stuff. They wrap our feelings, the same thing you've felt, I've felt. They wrap them in comedy, and they teach us a lesson. They hold that mirror up to us, and we look at it and go, yeah, I've been there. But I think the writing is so clever, because they didn't just have a Muslim neighbor moving in next door, a family from Yemen, but they expose our lack of knowledge on the situation that's going on, that how many people know what Yemen is, where Yemen is, how bad it is. They did a story turn in the grocery store where the woman who was the neighbor, the Muslim woman, was absolutely treated horribly by the young teenage checkout girl. And Roseanne, who had previously had prejudice against this woman, stepped in. And I really think it's a, you know, I was not a big Roseanne fan in the past. I'm impressed with how they're broaching subjects like this. And I wish more shows had that courage. But it, you know, it takes skilled writing too to pull it off.
You know, only in America, I feel like at times can you have some of these beautiful relationships. My daughter, who's Christian, had said recently that she thought it was neat that her best friends are Muslim and Jewish at school, and I giggle sometimes in, I guess, the not politically correct way that you might see some of the photos that I post, Mike, or send to you of like we had a s'mores get together with kids. And I giggled that we were the United Nations of neighbors because we had kids in the backyard from about four different countries, if I kind of go through my mind here. And then our kids, of course, and that they've moved here now. Their parents have moved here. And so I just think it's really neat that we have such a culturally diverse neighborhood, and we don't obviously think a thing about someone being a different color. My stepmom's from the Middle East. And so I grew up around, you know, in an environment where we were taught to welcome people of all colors, et cetera. In fact, I got called out the other day. I was going to show it to you, but I thought, no, people who don't like me, I don't need to bring attention to it. But he had said that I said that I feel my calling as a Christian is not to judge, but to love people. And he said, that's kind of like I'm telling your not telling your kids it's dangerous to run around in the street, because I know that that there are people who feel it's their calling to judge people and let them know how maybe biblically they're not leading their lives the way they should. That's not my calling. My calling is to care about people and to love people and to welcome people. And so he called me out as an idiot, I guess. But with that said,
he seems to be a very considerate and tolerant person.
Yes. Well, he's obviously his calling is to judge people. But I do love it that in our country, you can be a little kid at school and have friends of different faiths and nationalities. And that's why my daughter was talking about heaven the other day, and her teacher said she couldn't talk about heaven. And she thought that meant that her teacher wasn't a Christian. I said, no, that just means that your teacher isn't allowed to let kids talk about faith because other kids in your class might be offended. And so that doesn't mean anything about your teacher. It just means there are rules they have to follow.
It means our education system is stupid. So if you can't talk about heaven, that's effectively denying anyone their right to exercise their religion. I'm so against this. I think you should talk about heaven. You should talk about hell. You should talk about nirvana. You should talk about Vishnu. You should talk about all of it because it promotes critical thinking. But what we've done is now put a lid on that, and we're sitting on kids and bubble wrapping them educationally. We're not letting their minds expand. This gets me so enraged. I will spin out.
Well, that's why I love what Roseanne's doing. She has the courage to tackle these things, because if someone's doing something on a plane that makes me nervous and then I realize, oh, you can't say anything. Because, okay, you mentioned the see something, say something. Think back to they called him Clock Boy. So the teachers are nervous because this young man has, you know, a pencil box with wires sticking out of it. And they call the cops. And then the president of the United States not only invites that young man to the White House, but calls out the cops and the teachers and says they were insensitive to him. when they did exactly what they were told to do. That's why we're all like silenced, but our feet, we're silenced by fear. We're fearful that we'll be called something like a xenophobe, that we're not culturally sensitive to others if we say we were nervous about something, or if we see something and say something, then we're called out, even by the president of the United States, for doing what they told us to do.
Yeah, he's the same guy who said the cops in up near Harvard acted stupidly before he had any of the facts. And Clock Boy is a good example. Thank you for reminding me of Clock Boy. I don't think there's anything wrong with us all being honest with our fears and our concerns, because that's how other people will help us break down walls. But I also think, Angie, look, it's okay for kids to get scared or kids to be nervous. And then you teach them, hey, no, love those people. But then if you do love them and they treat you wrongly, you know, I go back to Reagan, trust but verify. Let's give people a chance. But if somebody burns you, don't go back to that well. I'll give you a chance, but I'm not going to be stupid.
Well, Roseanne did have to defend her episode. And we have to just touch on the Met Gala. We joked around about the outfits yesterday. And Piers Morgan, he's out of the UK, but he's also got some fame here in the US with his talk show. And he's been on entertainment shows. And he said if the Met Gala was not Catholic themed, if it was Muslim themed or Jewish themed, the people would lose their minds. But because they mocked Catholics in a way, I mean, one guy was dressed like a Burger King Jesus. You know, was it Jared Leto?
Yes, Jared Leto. I don't know who these people are. But Emily Zanotti from the Daily Wire said, "My religion is not your costume party." And Piers Morgan does have a new column out about it. But he also goes after the Pope on this, which, newsflash, Piers Morgan, if you really are a Catholic, you know the Pope is infallible. So you might want to back it down, pal.
Rihanna actually got her like headdress from like a legit Catholic, like someone in the hierarchy of the church.
The Cardinal here in New York loaned her a mitre. I guess he's extra mitre sitting around the sacristy, just waiting for somebody to say, hey, can I borrow that mitre for the weekend? No.
But seriously, think about it. If they had like ornate burkas on and then like a mini skirt or something, like a mini skirt burka, people would be up in arms about their faith being mocked. And she, with this mitre, the cardinal mitre, which is fabulous, by the way, she was able to dress her to match her micro mini skirt with it. Like she matched the material and the stones and the, you know, sequins and the whole nine yards. I mean, it is over the top. Ornate.
It's very over the top, which makes me wonder why the church is spending money on mitres like that.
Yeah, you're right. It is kind of, it looks like it costs a lot.
Yeah, it's a little much. Your Eminence. Cardinal,
yes.
Lynn, what are you doing?
Well, we've got several more hours to bicker amongst each other and also to share valuable news as well. So there's a lot to be had here. There's, you know, it's like a marriage. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly. All right?
Yeah.